This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Searin, your State Farm insurance agent in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. DC Waste and Recycling, and Garrels Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And now, Sports Saturday with David Jenkins and Tim Mize.
All right, Levi Ubel, thank you very much, and welcome to Sports Saturday. It is our football preview show. Hard to believe that high school football kicks off on Friday night. We'll have Carlinville hosting Hillsboro for you live Friday night, 7 o'clock, pregame show at 6:30 on FM 106. And David, a week from today, we'll be talking to our area coaches about week one.
How about that? Kind of snuck up
on us. It really did. We're going to talk to all sorts of coaches today, get their thoughts on the upcoming season. We're happy to start the program today, though, with Melissa Van Giesen. Of course, Melissa, certified athletic trainer. You'll see her on the sidelines of the Hillsboro football games throughout the year. She also, of course, works at Hillsboro Area Hospital. And Melissa, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
We were talking a little bit off the air, just kind of how everything about sports, not just football, but soccer, basketball, everyone a little more aware now of concussions and those types of head injuries than we were even 5 years ago. But football seems to always be the focus when people start talking about concussions. And I asked you, and I was just curious, have you seen a change in the kids in their response to a concussion or a potential concussion when they come off the field?
Yes. I think it's been from the very beginning of how we've developed this whole program, with making sure that the safety of them and their education, they know what the symptoms are now, they know how they end up feeling, they know that that's not a normal feeling. And not only does it affect them, I found a lot, they don't necessarily notice it in their sport, but at school, when they actually have to use their brains, it's really, really hard for them to actually do their job there, and they get it when they've just spent one day at school after it's happened. They know that something's not right. So,
and that makes your job easier when the kids are working with you and not necessarily trying to defy you or lie to you to stay on the field.
Right, right. And oftentimes in the heat of the moment of the game, they struggle sometimes to realize that that's happening, and there's often times where their personality instantly changes, and I may not see them completely all the time, but I know immediately just how the reaction of what they're doing, that it's affected that way. So it could be something very small where they can't make eye contact because they're just feeling not right, or they're just different things, and it affects everything in so many different ways.
There's so much that goes into protecting the youth, and I know the Impact program is a big part of it.
Yes. This is the third year that Hillsboro Area Hospital has sponsored, paying for. I am myself and then Eldon Reed. He's our athletic trainer that covers Nokomis games. We are Impact-trained athletic trainers, so we took a big, long testing procedure and classes, and so then we annually have to maintain that, but then we are able to interpret and determine those baseline. The computer helps us determine the scores, but then we can kind of read and look into the details of them. And truly, it's not the diagnostic tool for us. It's just a tool for us to use to help improve, to get them back onto the field and into school is the big thing. So we don't use that as a diagnostic. We just use it as an extra tool to kind of help us return them to play safely, because it actually gives us a number. So it's not just a symptom-based thing that they get as they start to get better.
So is that part of the, I guess, the pre-sport physical where they get a baseline brain test?
Yes, pretty much. And it's a memory test. A lot of the kids get very frustrated by it because it's not easy. It's very challenging. There's six different tests that are throughout the whole. It's a test that takes about 25 minutes. There's six different sections, and they have to test their memory with letters, with numbers, with shapes. They struggle a lot with the shapes because the shapes are all kinds of wiggly lines. And then they have to check colors, and it checks their reaction time and how fast they can do things. So, they get very frustrated and about how challenging it can be. But yes, that's kind of the beginning of the season. This year is our third year doing it. And so 2 years ago, or 3 years ago when we started it, the whole Hillsboro and Nokomis High School through Junior High got the baseline, and we're back to doing that again. Last year, we just kind of picked up on those few that were new students to the area, or they hadn't played a sport before, things like that. So, but now we've done our big giant mass testing basically. And so almost all of the high school kids, there's just a few select scragglers still, at both high school, or Nokomis and Hillsboro, have had their baseline test, and then here, a couple weeks, we'll start with the junior high as girls basketball begins, so.
So, for someone who may not have had, like, a devastating hit or whatnot, but they still might be showing some signs of a concussion, what are some of those signs that you might be able to notice, since, like I said, you're able to see, like, someone take a big hit, and you may see, oh, that person may have sustained a concussion, but it doesn't have to be the big hits.
No, what are some of those symptoms? Doesn't. Sometimes those big hits don't really affect them nearly as much. Right. A lot of times there's more symptoms to where they usually get a headache, but they may not always have a headache, but it's that foggy look in their eyes. You can just tell that someone is not quite there. They sometimes lose a little bit of balance problems, but again, that's not always, but it's just their personality kind of changes a little bit. They get a little bit unsure of the situation and their environment. They just don't act themselves. I mean, you can not know the person and have a conversation and know that they can't talk with you, and that's truly what it is. You just have to make conversation with them and try to figure out that they're just not being a normal communicating person kind of thing. So it really helps to help me when I can determine that.
Sure.
Is there anything that parents can do, obviously, when the kids are, they spend more time with their parents than they do on the football field? So what can parents do at home to kind of monitor this and kind of keep a tab on it?
Some of the old school ways when they did get concussions, the biggest thing was don't let them sleep. Keep them awake all night long. It's not true. It's not a way to do things anymore. I push hard. Rest for your brain is the best thing. So that's why I said when they go to school and they have to work their brains by the environment they're around, there's so many changing of classes and different things like that. That's really bad. The stimulus of it is terrible for them. So I always encourage the best way to get you better is to go home. Don't sleep for 14 hours, but get good 8-10 hours of sleep. Make sure that you're not stimulus by, we're so exposed to computers and phones and all of the stimulus that truly affects our brains as well, that they can't do that stuff.
Put down the smartphone?
Yes,
oh,
I know. Yeah. And so I do, that was like the one big thing that I really have to tell parents. They're going to tell me that they're not going to mess with it, but we know that they're always on their phone. So they have to, a little bit of it is okay, but that constant always on it, it just doesn't help. And they really do get it. The kids understand that when they do it too much, it affects them. And they start, they try, they don't believe me, and then I tell them over and over, and they understand after so long, because there really is a process to it, because it's not just you get the concussion today and tomorrow and or the, even the next day you get to start. There is about a 5-day window where we have to make sure that we're doing everything correctly. If they do stuff correctly the first day and listen to what I say, we're going to get to that 5th day pretty quickly. So, it all depends on what symptoms they have and how they react and things like that. So.
You mentioned the baseline test they go through. Now, I'm just curious, like, for a kid at Hillsborough who is a senior, and this would be the third year they've had that test, do you go back and look at the first year they took the test, or you just focus on this year's test for this season?
Just this year. So the test, it's basically based on age. So they take it every other year because their brains mature every other year. So they took it, for example, if they were a seventh grader and took it, they took it as a freshman, and there's a huge difference in maturity levels and brain function and all kinds of things at that level, and then they'll take it again as a junior. Same thing with sophomores and seniors. So it's just all, and they do get a different score. It's really just, and then there's a normative value that I can look at to see where they should be within that norm of what a baseline is, but I don't really always base it off of that because every single person is different. So, and some kids may have a little bit of a learning disability or things like that that affect something. So if they can kind of fail the test to where there's an error within the test that they didn't do something quicker or something. So there's been a few kids that I've had to have them retake it. But if they've taken it a couple of times and they still got an error on the test, I'll go back and look to see what area they may have struggled on. And if it's something with reaction time in the beginning or and their memory scores were fine, it's okay. I mean, it's not a huge deal. Just sometimes kids are a little bit slower with things and it really isn't. It's all right. So it's just a way that I can look and determine their baseline from the beginning to the end to actually have a number to follow. So,
talking with certified athletic trainer Melissa Van Giesen here on Sports Saturday. And the other thing we want to talk about is hydration. Obviously, that is very important because that can cause a whole different type of problem. And I guess a lot of times, maybe similar with the concussion, obviously not with the same results, but a kid may not even realize that they're dehydrated.
Correct. It's kind of it's unfortunate for football, I think, anymore because they get a little frustrated. They want to practice a little bit more, but the IHSA has kind of helped with the whole big, huge hydration issue that we used to have. Don't see it nearly as much anymore because they have, football's only allowed to practice for 3 hours a day versus the big, giant 12-hour days that they used to have back in the day. So, it's really affected the way that they have to hydrate themselves to make it through that 3 hours, just that short time. But, yes, the hydration is a big key. A lot of times kids just get up and go to practice and don't think about it, but it's truly important to drink a huge glass of water or even have a Gatorade or something like that along the lines to make sure that you're good and hydrated before you do any practice.
And I think this is correct. If it's not, please do correct me, but to get hydrated before a game, you can't just drink the water or the Gatorade before kickoff. You have to do it the day before.
Right. My first 2 weeks of football, I hate sometimes because you're guaranteed you're going to get some cramps. I really try to push that Thursday is when it's important. When you're at school all day on Friday, take a big, huge, giant thing of water to drink. Those are the important times. Drinking and eating right before the game isn't going to work. And it's not just drinking, it's eating as well, because they just don't, you got to hydrate yourself with everything, with all of the nutrients, and just doing just water an hour before game time isn't going to help you, and you're going to cramp. It's just part of it. So there's so many things that get taken out of your body, carbohydrates, electrolytes, all that kind of stuff. And when you're working hard, those things go away really quickly. And if you don't replenish them in the beginning before you do all that stuff, it's very hard throughout your playing time to get it corrected.
And it should be easier, I would think, to stay hydrated now because there are so many different products between the beverages and all the different bars that they have.
Yes, yes. And the Gatorade and Powerade, they have improved with so many different things because some of those drinks are very sugary and loaded with lots of things that are not necessarily good for you. Mm-hmm. But they have improved with developing more nutrient-based kind of drinks that aren't nearly as full of sugar and full of, they still have some of the artificial sweeteners and things like that you have to be careful with. And it's not that you want to drink those always. Water is truly the most important thing. But if you're going to be exercising for an hour to an hour and a half, having one Gatorade or Powerade to kind of help get you is truly a good thing to have and a baseline to kind of start with that kind of stuff too.
Is there any difference between like the powder of like the Gatorade or the Powerade versus the actual liquid drink, or does it basically come out to about the same thing?
It comes out to about the same, to be honest with you. Most of those powders are, we have to distribute the correct amount of water and things like that, so it works out to be about the same.
Melissa Van Giesen, anything else that people need to know as we get heading into the fall sports season here?
Safety is just the biggest thing, making sure that you listen to your body, do what your body tells you. If you have an ache or pain or hurt, that it's important to make sure that you're listening to that and doing what you need to have it corrected. And I tell the kids and the parents all the time, we as athletic trainers are there to help them. Let us help you. And it's just a great thing to be on top of yourself for.
And obviously all the people at Hillsborough Area Hospital, very well equipped to handle these types of situations, and hopefully not, but we know injuries are going to happen.
Yes, yes. Unfortunately, they are, but, yeah, we have lots of good people to help and provide a great service to our kids and community for sure.
All right, Melissa Van Giesen, thank you so much for coming in. And, hey, have fun this year.
Thank you.
Hey, we'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to start our football preview with our area coaches, Chad Easterday, up first following these messages. All right, Levi Ubelt, thank you so much. And high school football kicks off a week. Well, actually, it kicks off next week. Friday night, we'll have Carthenville hosting Hillsborough live at 7 o'clock right here on FM 106. We're happy to be joined on the phone right now by Carthenville Cavalier head coach Chad Easterday. Good morning, Chad.
Morning, guys. How are you this morning?
Hey, we're doing very well. And I would imagine, Chad, in a lot of ways for you, this is like Christmas.
Been a long off season, and we had a little soda practice last night. We did something a little different. We didn't scrimmage. We practiced for a change. So we had a good evening last night. So we're ready for game week.
And Chad, I know I talked to you over the winter at a basketball game, and you talked about how you had kind of altered your off season program because you have essentially played an extra season of football with your deep playoff runs the last couple of years.
Yeah, we got to talking about, when to start lifting and when to start all that stuff, and we got to adding up weeks and all that stuff, so we didn't do anything during December. We waited till January and got rolling the first day back from school in January, and Believe it or not, at first glance, I guess I'll let you know in 3 weeks how the record is. But, you know, our kids were fresher and that sort of thing, and we didn't have to worry about that Christmas break.
Jen, obviously you have a bunch of talent coming back, and that is always a good place to start.
Yeah, you know, when you can bring back skill kids and the similarities from one year to the other kind of carry over and that sort of stuff, you know, you don't have to always start at square one. You can start at square four, and we had the pleasure of doing that this year, which makes things go easier and harder because, you know, obviously your second and third team kids, you know, they got to get caught up faster and that sort of thing. But, you know, once again, I think that's what helps build great programs and tradition and that sort of thing and the expectation level.
What is your returning or what is your offensive line situation look like? Because a lot of times we hear about how good the skill players are at Carlinville, but the games really for you guys more times than not are won at the offensive line.
Yeah, we bring back, in a terminology for us, we bring back 3.5 linemen. So we call that a half because we got a kid playing left tackle or right tackle, I believe, that, you know, he wasn't in the starting lineup, but because of his rotation on defense, he played every other series on offense. So I think sometimes those good things get a little skewed when you talk to coaches about returning starters and non-returning starters. I like to talk about kids in terms of who's been in the fire and who hasn't been in the fire. So, you know, we have one new face up front, and he's been doing very well. So hopefully we'll be rolling up front here week one.
Kev, we've talked before, and you always talk about you don't rebuild the Carlinville, you reload. And you guys haven't had more than 2 losses in a regular year since 2011. You've been in the playoffs 11 straight years, only been out of the postseason once since the year 2000. These are just staggering numbers. But I'm just curious, how do you balance the expectation versus making sure that the kids don't put too much pressure on themselves week to week?
Well, first of all, I didn't know that stat because you know me, Tim. My statistical, I hate the stats, so to speak. So I guess that's a pretty impressive number. I thank you for that. You know, I tell you what, we do this all the time. We talk about it every day. And you just be honest with them. I think to try to downplay the expectation level or downplay the pressure of doing the things that they need to do and not making it important and getting it out there early to them, what our expectation level, what it is to have Carlinville tradition and those types of things. So we've been talking about that since January 6th in the weight room and that sort of thing. So I hope that our kids become accustomed to that, where that is the level of thinking all the time instead of just 1 year or 2 years or those types of things. So, you know, if you ask coaches and have great programs, that's what they seem to tell you. So we're trying to mimic that as much as we can, and we'll see how it goes.
And this will be the second straight year that you start with Hillsborough to kick off the year. And I know last year it was everything you thought it was going to be in terms of the physicality, and I would imagine you expect the same thing this year.
Yes, you know, that's been a tradition, a rivalry, so to speak, of physicality that, like you said, it doesn't matter if Coach Duff is up or down or Carlinville's up or down. It seems to have that level of a week 9 or 10 game to it week one. So it's kind of unique, and I'm sure they talk about it over there as much as we talk about it here. You have to have your chin strap on and your mouthpiece in for 4 quarters in order to survive that type of atmosphere. So we definitely have been talking about that and want to bring that type of level to our game week one.
Yeah, absolutely. Chad, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir. We look forward to talking to you throughout the season.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, and David, that man has done, I mean, he talks about, it was a tradition before he got there. You know, Carlinville football for a long, long time has been upper echelon. But in a lot of ways, Chad has taken it to another level.
Yeah, and one of his bugaboos, you could say, was he was having trouble getting out of the second round of the playoffs. And once he did that,
that's over.
That's over. He's not had a problem with that the past couple of years. So he's taken the next step forward, and that program is looking to continue to keep taking steps forward to maybe eventually become a perennial championship game team.
Well, and that's like a first world problem situation. Oh, trouble getting out of the second round. Oh.
A lot of people will say that's where the you know you really had a successful season with the really good teams is once you're in the second round of the playoffs, you know you had a good season.
I've always personally, this is my opinion, if you win a playoff game, that's like winning a regional.
Yeah.
In every other sport, because as we talked about before, you have to qualify, as everyone knows, to get in to the football playoffs. So if you win a playoff game, that is essentially a regional championship performance. The Hillsborough Hilltoppers are coming off back-to-back playoff appearances. Three of the last 4 years they've been in the postseason, and happy to be joined now by their head coach, Aaron Duff. Good morning, Duffy.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing very good. I told Chad yesterday, just a moment ago, probably feels like Christmas for him, and you're a football guy, so I know you're pumped up and ready to go for this season.
Yeah, it's been fun, man. Our kids are doing a really good job. Football's been really fun this summer. We've had good attitudes and great attendance, and we got good numbers.
And that is so key, Duffy, is the numbers. Obviously, football is a numbers game more than any other sport, but when you can get the numbers out in the summer for your workouts, boy, does that help you moving into a season.
Sure does. I mean, you got to deal with vacation, summer baseball, everything, but our kids have really done a good job and showing up and worked hard.
Does it seem like you are going into your 11th year at your alma mater?
Mentally, no. Physically, yes. when you go home and your feet are hurting, back are hurting, all of a sudden you can't get up. So, yeah, but no, it's gone fast. It's gone really, really fast.
Duff, you are having to replace a lot of great seniors that you lost to graduation last year. Talk a little bit about losing those players, but the players are going to be asked to replace them.
Yeah, we had a good core group of seniors last year. We had 16 of them, but, I was sort of worried about that in the beginning about depth, but, man, this year we have 16 seniors again, and, I guess I really didn't realize that. We have 16 seniors and we have 15 juniors. So, we got guys stepping up. Those guys that are stepping up this year, it's hard to get in games when you have that many seniors as a junior. So our numbers, like I said, are good, and we have a good core of seniors again. So we're probably going to deal with some experience, there. But as far as athletically goes, I think we got a little more team speed this year than last year, and our kids are working really hard. So we got to replace some good guys, but I like what's coming up.
Without giving away any state secrets, are we going to see the kind of typical ground and pound style from Hillsborough this year?
We're gonna still be running some triple I stuff, a little bit of spread stuff like we did last year, and still throw the football. We threw for 1,000 last year, which is huge for us. So we would like to continue that to, spread people out a little bit more and just not be able to stack the box on us.
Are you able to take anything away from last season, specifically that playoff game down in Anna Jonesboro, where you really took Anna Jonesboro right down to the wire and, of all things, lost on a long pass from a team that doesn't throw the ball very much? Is that something, obviously it's not going to help any this year, but mentally in the off season, was that something that drove your kids?
Oh, yeah. We went down there, faced, a very tough Anna Jonesboro team. The number one seed in the bracket there, and played really well. We tried to build on how well we played, and we want to win a playoff game, not just get in there. We want to win that playoff game. So we talked about how close we were and the few mistakes, and it just takes one mistake and, try to learn from that.
And that, unfortunately for you, Duffy, in your time at Hillsborough, there's been a lot of games where it's been one mistake that has really bitten you guys.
Yeah. We wouldn't have maybe been in that situation playing at Jonesboro if there was one fumble in a game earlier in the season that cost us, but that's how it goes. You just got to, move on from those little mistakes and learn from them and keep going.
And in the South Central Conference, it doesn't get much tougher than week one at Carlinville.
Yeah, they're going to be a real good ball club, I'm pretty excited about it, actually. Let's go play the best. let's see what you're made of. If you go out there and play well, you don't know what happens in high school football. We're planning on going to win. We don't care who we play. But our kids are excited to go play the best.
And you really have a chance to get your season off on a great foot. Whether win or lose, obviously you want to win. But if you go into Carlinville, smash them around like Hillsborough is known to do, you're going to come out of there with confidence.
Sure, yeah. I mean, we're going to come out of there, either way, win or lose, and just work on getting better. We really worked on last year talking to the kids, not where you start, it's where you finish. So we started off 0-2 last year and then, went through and got some wins, quality wins, and made it to the playoffs. So we're just going to keep working. Like I said, I really like the attitude of our kids and how hard they're working for us.
Sounds great. Duffy, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. We look forward to our chats throughout the year, sir.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right. Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hillsborough Hilltoppers, and hard to believe that he's been there going into his 11th season now.
Yeah, He was coaching at Greenville when I was in high school.
I mean, he got yeah. that Greenville dominance mm-hmm. started when he
it
was
started when
coach.
I was in high school. Yeah, yeah. That's how long it's been.
Yeah, but yeah, him and Chad both took over Carlinville and Hillsboro in the same year. So it's really exciting that they now play in week one of the year. And last year, that game wound up, I think, being closer than a lot of people thought it was going to be. Hillsboro had Carlinville in trouble a year ago. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens this week. That'll be our live broadcast yeah. feature Friday night, 7 o'clock here on FM 106.
And it ended up coming, if I remember correctly, it ended up coming down to whoever made the fewest mistakes, because it was not a high scoring game. It just so happened that Carlinville made just fewer mistakes than Hillsboro did.
And we mentioned it with Duffy, but that seems to unfortunately been the situation with Hillsboro where just, boy, a mistimed fumble has mm-hmm. cost them so many times over the years. Okay, I think we have Tom Priddle on the phone right now. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, fellas. How's it going?
We're doing pretty good. Of course, Tom Priddle, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers. And I guess, Coach, we'll just kind of get the elephant out of the way. Right away, what is the status of the Litchfield football program?
Well, right now, guys, all I can tell you is it's still kind of just in the talks. Low numbers are hurting us a little, but we got a few more players that are out, and, as long as they get through their acclimation period and through their days of practice that they got to have, we should have them ready. They won't be ready for the first game, but maybe the second, so... we'll just have to see where we're at after a week or so, but ultimately it won't be just my decision. Administration will have to make a decision as well, so we just have to kind of wait and see, guys. That's all I could tell you on that.
Yeah. And there will be a meeting on Monday, correct?
Yep, we'll get a final say on Monday for sure, either way. That way the other teams in the SEC can do whatever they need to do. Obviously, best case scenario, we go ahead and we get to play our schedule, but there'll be a decision on Monday either way, guys. So
is it tougher? Sorry, Tom, didn't mean to cut you off. Is it tougher dealing with this with not having an athletic director right now? Because I know that's something Litchfield is currently without, an official athletic director.
I believe Thursday night they did hire
director. Okay.
He is underway, and hopefully we can get some of these things lined out. But yeah, it's a little extra workload on the rest of the coaches and stuff throughout the school district, and they handled it the best that they could with the information that they had to work with. So, I believe Thursday night they hired Mr. Kassebaum as the athletic director. So. I've worked with him briefly here and there, and he's well underway. So,
I got to ask, which Kassebaum is it? I'm just curious.
Andy Kassebaum.
Okay.
Yeah, he's been involved in Litchfield Athletics for a long, long
time. Because I know he has a son, and okay. I was just curious. So,
Tom Priddle, the Litchfield football coach, joining us here on Sports Saturday. And Tom, obviously, it's a numbers crunch for Litchfield this year, and obviously we'll have our final answer on Monday. But you hear coaches talk about it all the time, we can't worry about who's not here. We're going to focus on who is here. And I know you have a big group of freshmen in the program.
Yep, and we're pleased with the turnout of freshmen, and they're really stepping up. I can't say anything negative about them. Those kids, they really want to play some football, and they are happy to be there. None of them complain or anything like that. They just do. So, as a coach, can't ask for a better group of kids. They really stepped up, and after watching our purple and white game last night, I'm confident that they can play some football. So,
Tom, what is the actual, like, as we sit here today on Saturday, August the 18th, how many kids do you have on your on your team and your program?
Well, with the addition of the recent additions in the last few days, we're sitting, I believe, right at 24.
Okay, and you mentioned the acclimation time. How many practices does a kid have to be eligible to play?
Well, the acclimation period, and they have to have 2 days in helmets only. Then they have to have 3 days in helmets and shoulder pads before they can even go full pads. And I believe it's 14 days altogether that they have to have IHSA rules. They have to have 14 days before they can play in a football game of altogether practices.
Obviously, Tom, this is your second year for Litchfield. You got a late start to it last year with the hiring, and obviously the situation you've been dealing with this year. How tough has this been just for you as a coach trying to, you know, get your program in order and get practices structured?
Well, it's tough, and I think any coach in the conference could tell you there's a long days no matter how long you've been here. So, I spend anywhere between 12, 15, 16 hours a day trying to put things together. I usually get to school about 8 o'clock in the morning and maybe a little earlier at times, 7:30, open up the weight room throughout the summer, and once the weight room gets out, I spend a lot of time in front of a computer, and then we have our camps and stuff like that. But yeah, it could be quite lengthy days. Sometimes you don't get out of school until 2 o'clock in the morning. So,
and Coach, no matter what the success has been on the field, every Friday night at Lloyd Hill Field, the stands are always packed. So I guess I'll give you an opportunity to speak to the Litchfield fan base, just kind of what would you tell them about this season coming up?
Well, I want to tell them to keep coming, keep showing up, keep having pride in our school and our town and our community, and just keep showing up, keep cheering on the kids, because that's why we're all here, from coaches to teachers to citizens. We're there to support them, build young pillars of our community, I guess, and try to guide them in the right direction. And the right direction is to show them that the community supports them. So one day that whenever they're good fathers and good employees or employers, and that they can go out and support their kids too. So.
I think you hit it right there perfectly, Tom. No matter what the wins and losses are or what the number of games wind up being played is, the whole point of high school athletics, especially in a small town, is to build young people to be great men.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be in the role that I'm in. You know, if we're just out there trying to get wins or losses, no matter the cost, then I wouldn't be coaching football today.
Tom Priddle, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers. Sir, I know it's been a tough go here the last several months, and we'll see how it turns out on Monday, but best of luck.
Yep, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Tom Priddle with the Litchfield Purple Panthers, and what else did you expect him to say?
Well, I mean, he had more kids than I'd heard at my last report.
That's so up,
24 is up.
That's good.
These were all unofficial, but last unofficial, I had heard it was 18 at one point, then I heard it dropped down to 15, so 24. That's up. Now, whether or not administration will allow them to go ahead and play, obviously, since I don't think he mentioned how many of those were recent additions, so the first game might still end up being in jeopardy, and it'll depend on, you know, how old a lot of these kids are too. 24 is up from where the reports I'd heard was, so that's encouraging, but we'll see.
And there were a lot of different things flying around online and the social media yesterday, and
yeah.
I was reminded, David, of the line that Terry Toad always says, the safety of the free world
right.
is not at stake. No matter how this shakes out, whether they have a season, don't have a season, play just JV, the safety of the free world is not at stake. We're talking about
a game. Yeah. it's a game, which, yes, it hurts, and it hurts the community of Litchfield specifically, and you have to remember that from the outside communities as well. There's no reason to go out and point blame at anybody or point blame at
yeah, it's no things happen.
Right. So I mean it's sometimes that's just the way the cards fall. You know, that.
And you know, you always have to try to walk in another person's shoes,
right.
And you have to think about what would we do if this was my team, my community? And I think everybody would handle it the same way Litchfield has handled it, where you wait as long as you can, try as hard as you can to
right.
exhaust every possibility to try to be able to field the team.
Absolutely. And like we said, 24 kids right now, it sounds like, is what they're at. We don't know how old or young a majority of the kids are. And if, I mean, if most of them are freshmen, they may not be able to play a varsity schedule. And if that's the case, you have to accept that. You can't say, well, they have 24 kids, go ahead and throw them out there, because that's just dangerous and irresponsible. So you have to respect the decisions that are going to be made here on Monday and not complain about them.
You just don't see a lot of freshmen playing varsity football. And
right.
There's a reason. It's a very physical game. I mean, as we were talking with Melissa Van Giesen to start the show, football, there's just a lot of physicality involved, and more than any other sport, a freshman's body probably realistically just isn't ready to go.
Yeah.
Now, I remember a couple years ago, Anthony Cravagna for Gillespie, he played, started as a freshman. That was really the first time that I remember a freshman playing significant football minutes.
And it happens, but I mean, what you're, and again, this is just all going on speculation, but what you're talking about here is you could have a group of freshmen playing for the varsity team. So that's different. It's one thing to have like a freshman phenom, or, you know, this young kid who's going to be a stud one day. It's another thing to have a group of freshmen to play together, and they may be studs one day too, but still, at the same time, I mean, they've never played varsity football before, so to throw a group of freshmen to the wolves like that, that can be dangerous.
And this is a situation when you talk to Litchfield people the last year specifically, they were concerned about the numbers in some of the incoming classes, the high school, and some of the lower levels of their programs. But I don't think no one necessarily envisioned it happening this year.
Right. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. It may have happened a year sooner than anticipated. They saw it as a potential problem. They were trying to combat the problem as well. All I would say is please exercise restraint in your comments and don't point blame unnecessarily. Don't be irresponsible and insensitive.
Well, that's no fun. That's no fun.
Yeah.
We're going to switch gears now and start talking Staunton Bulldog football. On the phone right now is head coach Zachary Ferguson. Good morning, Coach.
Morning.
Well, Coach, we'll start with this. We just had Litchfield's Tom Friddle on the phone, and nothing official yet. We know what kind of the reports and speculation is. They're going to make their decision on Monday, but you have Litchfield week one, so how are you approaching it? This directly affects you guys.
I mean, there's no certain 100% sure answer right now, so we're just, you know, we're going to wait for them to make their decision, and then we'll go from there.
So with that in mind, it certainly puts you guys in a strange situation because you build all season to play. You know August 24th is the start date, and now there's a chance that August 24th might not be your start date. So I would imagine you have a lot of anxious kids who are tired of hitting each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to, you know, if we don't play, you know, next Friday, it's going to change kind of our mindset on practice as far as, you know, what we're going to focus on. And, you know, yeah, I mean, it's hard to keep. The kids are ready to go, and it's, you know, we're going to have to work to keep them motivated and keep them on task, and then we're going to have to adapt, you know, our practice schedules and stuff because, you know, it's another, that'll make it another basically 2 weeks of hitting on each other. So, I mean, it's definitely something we're going to, you know, if we have to worry about, we're definitely going to attack it in that way.
Zachary, you guys had a really nice bounce back year last year. There had only been 4 wins in the program in the 3 years after that state runner-up finish. But with a young, talented roster last year, you guys got the 4 wins, and boy, do you have a lot coming back.
Yeah, I mean, we returned 18 starters on both sides of the ball, so we're definitely excited about that. You know, we lose a couple key guys, and, you know, Marcus Carl and John Algest and Noah Bertles and stuff, but, you know, we're excited for what we have coming back, and we're excited for a couple young guys that are stepping up for us so far. So, yeah, we're really looking forward to the season and kind of seeing where we stand in the first 3 weeks and kind of go from there.
I know Silas Cox, his freshman year, whether it was football, basketball, or baseball, I mean, the young man just had a standout freshman year. What do you expect from him in his sophomore season?
I can't really comment on that right now.
Fair enough. So as you look at the rest of your roster moving forward, every football team is predicated on good line play. How's your line shaping up?
Well, I mean, we return, you know, 3 starters and 4 guys who started last year. You know, we definitely have a lot more depth on our line this year. You know, last year we were pretty thin on the line, and This year we were, we feel like we got some guys who could step up and give some guys some breaks. We return a lot of experience. Three out of the four, five guys have started since they were sophomores. This is the second year in their scheme. And so we're kind of, I mean, we're looking forward to seeing what they can do. And, you know, we're definitely be bigger this year than we were last year. Those guys have hit the weight room really hard. So, it's going to be, you know, we'll see. You don't really know much until you play somebody else. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what we have after that first game we play.
Well, in the South Central Conference can be such a physical league as well. So if you're bigger and stronger, boy, that's going to pay big dividends.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely, you know, a run first conference right now. So, I mean, every team's trying to establish the run right away. You know, we're typically, you know, last year we were probably one of the smallest lines in the conference, if not the smallest. But I thought our kids, you know, they did a good job. But then, you know, the focus of this offseason was definitely to get bigger and stronger. And some of our kids have grown a little bit, got taller, and they've put on some weight. And, you know, they started weightlifting 2 weeks after our season was over. So, you know, right at the beginning of November, and they've been at it for, you know, almost 8 months now. So I think it's definitely going to pay off for us, and I think they're going to see the difference that this is done.
You guys, of course, will take it 1 week at a time because that's how it goes, but I would imagine that playoffs are very much on your mind.
Yeah, I mean, that's our goal. I mean, that was our goal last year, too, is to get to the playoffs and get five wins, and our goal is the same this year. You know, we kind of separate the season by 3 weeks. You know, we try to take, you know, 3 weeks at a time, try not to look too far ahead, try to stay focused on the week ahead, and, you know, we kind of always say we want to win two out of three every 3 weeks, and you do that, you're going to be in for sure. So, yeah, I mean, the kids are definitely wanting to get to the playoffs. I mean, that's kind of their goal as far as, you know, they don't want to just be 5-4 either. You know, they want to have a chance to play at home in the playoffs or get to the second or third round. You know, this is a group of kids that, you know, they haven't felt that type of success during their high school career, and they want to get to that point and then continue on that point, you know, for years to come. So that's definitely our end goal, is to get to the final 32 teams.
Yeah.
You know?
And boys, that is the middle part of your season brutal. At Hillsboro, at Pena, home to Vandalia. Woo.
Yeah. That was kind of our, you know, we went 2-3 in the first three games and the last three games. Or 2-1 in the first three games and the last three games. And that middle part of our schedule, that's kind of to see you know, those are three tough teams, very physical teams that have had a lot of success here lately since I've been around this area. I mean, that's kind of how you gauge how good your team is in those three games. And, you know, if you have a pretty solid team, that should be three fun games to watch.
Absolutely. Zachary Ferguson, the head coach of the Staunton Bulldogs, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and best of luck this year, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Head coach of the Staunton Bulldogs, Zach Ferguson, in his second year, and look out for Staunton this year.
Yeah, the 4-5 record, I think, took a lot of people by surprise last year. I think people thought they were going to be improved, but being one game removed from the playoffs is that happened quickly.
Yes.
So their goal, being that close to the playoffs last year, their goal definitely will be to get over the hump and get that fifth win this year. So it'll be exciting to watch.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We roll on with our football preview following these messages. Oh, back on WSMI Sports. I was asleep with the wheel, David.
Oh, by the way.
We're
back.
We're on this fine radio program on WSMI FM 106, our football preview show. Happy to be joined now by the new coach of the Southwestern Piasaw Birds, Pat Keith. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, fellas. How are you doing?
Hey, we're doing very well. Obviously, a new school for you, but you're very familiar with the South Central Conference after 9 years at Roxana. Just talk a little bit about the transition from one South Central school to another.
Yeah, it's been a good transition. I think actually a pretty easy one. You know, I've lived in the Brighton community now for about 19 years, and my kids go to school there. So being familiar with some of the people in the school district and being familiar with some of the kids who, you know, relationships with my kids, has been a pretty easy transition. It was tough leaving Roxana. It was a place, you know, I've been for 10 years as a teacher and stuff, but I'm looking forward to the opportunity here at Southwestern to do some good things.
And, you know, it's interesting, Pat, when you took over the Roxana program, they had just one win in 5 years, and then you took them to the playoffs twice. And for Southwestern, it's been a long time since they've had taste of that success in the football field.
Yeah, I think it's been, I mean, I look, you know, probably 2009, so mm-hmm. it's kind of the same process. I think it's Roxana, obviously, is a little different situation. Like you said, we had one game, you know, game in 5 years. The Southwestern, they've been close. Had some good teams over the past, you know, past 10 years, but that's a goal of ours, to get back to the playoffs. But, you know, going in somewhere new and putting some new stuff in, and offensively and defensively, and just trying to, you know, change the culture to how you want it to be done. And so it's going to be a process, but so far so good.
And you can't make this stuff up, Coach. Your first game's against Roxana. Of course it is.
I know, yeah. It's you know, I agree with you. It's kind of funny, but, you know, obviously when I was at Roxana, truthfully, we always played Carlinville week one for my first 8 years, and then the schedule, the rotation of schedule happened last year. So, yeah, ironically, yes, we're playing Roxana week one, but I think the kids will be fired up, and I know Roxana will be too. But it'll be a fun game. It's gonna be tough, just different seeing the kids you've been coaching for 9 years, you know, and across the field from you. But we'll be ready to go. Hopefully, get a win Friday night.
How was your summer work? How was your turnout? How are your numbers looking?
So right now on the program we have 43 kids. Which is a little lower, I think, than they had last year. I think they had, you know, somewhere in the mid-50s. But they also graduated 17 seniors last year at Southwestern. So, summer-wise, we meet 3 days a week and did some things, two team camps, one early in the summer, one late in the summer. And then we also did weightlifting 3 days a week. So, turnout in the summer was really good. I think our average number is somewhere between 35 and 40. So I was really pleased with, you know, the kids' dedication during the summertime. So the summer went well, but like I said again, just me being new, and my coaching staff being new, putting a new system in. So that's a process, you know, starting over kind of for them too. So we're kind of taking baby steps, but, you know, the big thing for us is just trying to execute and do little things. And I told the kids, you know, if we do those little things right, then the good things will happen.
Is the system you run drastically different than the one they ran previously, or are there some similarities there that they're able to work with?
No, I think it's different. I mean, I just being in the conference as a coach, I think Southwestern in the past has been more, past 4 years at least, they've had a few head coaches since I've been in the conference, but the last coach, I think, you know, they were more pass-based offense. Well, we're going to be more of a run-based offense. And obviously this year for us too at Southwestern, part of the thing for us is, you know, we lost a lot of skilled kids. So coming back, the strength I would say for us is our linemen. So we're going to, you know, run the ball a little more. That's something we've done at Rocktown when I was there too. But yeah, I think it's a little different. I think the kids have been a little bit of a change because they're more of a throw-first team now. We're obviously going to be a little more of a run-first team, so I think it's been a change for them a little bit.
And Pat, it's a little weird for the Southwestern football team because they've got talent. There's all sorts of athletic kids that go to Southwestern, but for whatever reason over the years, it hasn't necessarily translated to consistent football success. A lot of it has to do with the tough conference that you play in, but as you look at your roster, there's athletes all over the place, I would imagine.
Yeah, I've always felt, even as a coach in the conference, not being at Southwestern, they've always had athletes there. And yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, one of the things they've always had, too, is like some of their programs in our conference, they always have a little bit of size, you know, big kids. So hopefully we can get that turned around and, you know, have some success. But once again, you know, it's going to be a process. It's, you know, I learned the first time through at Roxana, too. It's not a quick fix. It's, you know, obviously changing the offensive, defensive schemes, and then kind of changing the expectations of how things are done. So it'll be a little bit. And our numbers aren't great. You know, 43 is not great numbers. But I don't think, in our conference, I know it kind of varies, but it just seems nowadays the numbers in football aren't as good as they used to be. But hopefully we can change that with, you know, having some success and then also just trying to get kids in the hallway that should be playing football that maybe aren't. So that's going to be a goal of ours as well as the staff. And so we're just looking forward to getting week one in and then kind of see where it goes from there.
Yeah, that's the recruiting part of high school. You don't got to travel across the state. You just got to roam the hallways.
Exactly right. That's the one good thing, too, for me coming here at Southwestern. I was able to get, I have four guys in my staff that are actually in the school. For Roxton, I didn't really have that ability, so it's kind of nice to have some teachers in the building. So that also gives the kids an opportunity to, you know, talk football is more than just me or, you know, see a different coach's face and talk about football instead of me all the time. So I'm excited about that opportunity as well.
What is, I guess, your expectation for the year? What is a successful season for Southwestern this year?
I think for us, just being honest, I mean, executing well and competing, I think, you know. And then, obviously, you know, just the mindset of playing a complete football game, you know. That's, you know, I told the kids at the beginning of the year that all we can ask of them for sure is if are they going to ask of themselves is if they give their best effort, and in the end it doesn't work out, we say, you know, go home knowing that they give their best effort. But if we can, if we leave there knowing we didn't do things correct or didn't give our best effort, then that's, you know, on us as coaches, on them as players. So I think for us, like you said, I think it's a tough football conference year to year, top to bottom, and it's going to be a battle for us week to week. But we're looking forward to lining up and see how we do. But hopefully we'll progress the year that goes on, and offensively, defensively, and then have some success. And you never know what happens, so we'll see how it goes.
Absolutely. Pat Key, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and best of luck this year.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right, Patrick Keith, the new head coach of the Southwestern Piesaw Birds. And, David, I think that it's more of what the conference has been than what Southwestern hasn't been over the years, because they got players.
Yeah. Well, and it's not like they've been winless consistently. They've, I mean, what, 3-6 the past couple of years, 4-5 before that. So they've put some wins on the board. They haven't been at the bottom of the conference every year. It's just, you know, maintaining consistency at times and making mistakes at times. So the opportunities are there and the potential is there. It's just maximizing on the potential.
And we mentioned it with Patrick, but opening with his old team, right then in the first, because why wouldn't they?
No, it's perfect.
And you look at Southwestern's first few games. Obviously, we talk about Roxana week one, Litchfield week two. We'll obviously see what happens there. But then they go Staunton, Greenville, Vandalia, Carthenville, Pena, Hillsboro, Gillespie. That is
it's
quite
brutal.
The closing stretch.
It's brutal, and it's so cliche, but you have to take it game by game, a week at a time. So don't try and go 9-0 week one. I mean, that's not a good recipe for success.
That's not going to work too well.
No, you can't win 9 games in 1 week. You know that?
You can't?
You cannot.
I think you just broke some news.
I didn't know if you realized that, but it's impossible.
So we've been talking a lot about the South Central Conference here, the first hour of the program on WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. We're going to switch gears now and talk about the Prairie State Conference as Paul Watson is joining us on the phone right now. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing very well. And how excited are you for the start of the upcoming season?
Very excited. We got some good playmakers coming up here, and I think we can have a pretty good season.
What are your numbers looking like?
We were right about 34, 35.
And that's pretty consistent where you guys have been the last handful of years, isn't it?
It is, it is. And, you know, this year we've got a pretty good, you know, freshman class to come in. We got about 14 freshmen, and then we're about 6 seniors and 7 juniors. So we're pretty good.
What can you realistically expect from freshmen at the varsity level? What do you anticipate there?
Freshmen are freshmen. You know, that's a big jump when you get 14, 15-year-olds and going up against some 17, 18-year-olds. So we've got a couple big ones that'll probably dress varsity, but, you know, they won't see much playing time.
So, Paul, talk to us a little bit about your upperclassmen, and who are you expecting to really lead your team this year?
Well, you know, we got a solid group of seniors, and a lot of those seniors are playmakers, where a lot of the linemen are juniors and sophomores. So, you know, we're looking at Alex DeSetti to step in at quarterback. You know, had a lot of success doing 7-on-7 stuff over the summer, and, you know, we got Trevor Wright out there, receiver, and Mason Stewart, Ryan Jansen, and Adam Lyons back there running the ball, and Brandon Kaiser. So we got a pretty good group.
Coming off of last year where you wind up missing the playoffs by just one game at 4-5, you look at the Prairie State Conference, unlike the South Central Conference, it's an open conference, so you have an opportunity to get some non-conference games in, and you open up with one of those in Sullivan.
Yeah. And we got Sullivan week one and then Central A&M week two, which – you know, that's better than playing St. Teresa week two, but, you know, we got the Redskins versus the Redskins week one, so don't know much about them. You know, we got a new coach this year, which actually was the offensive coordinator for St. Teresa a couple of years ago, so we like our chances.
As you look at the season as a whole, how are you going to define success for the Nokomis football team this season?
Well, and, you know, our team goals going into this year is You know, one is team chemistry. You know, two is staying healthy. And that's kind of what hurt us last year. We had our, you know, the defensive player of the year from the year before in the Prairie State broke his collarbone week three. The Trevor Wright broke his foot right before the scrimmage game. Connor Engelman had his broken elbow, so he was off. He only played the last two weeks. So, you know, that kind of cost us the playoffs, I believe, was injuries. So, you know, we stay healthy, we'll be fine.
And, Paul, that's just the unfortunate reality. You can have the best laid plans in the world, but when key guys get hurt at a small program, there's no way to overcome it.
Yeah, you know, and you know, you get a key guy hurt, and it's a shuffle game for us, and I think that's probably true with most small schools is, you know, you take a starter from the wing position, now you put him in the backfield, and, you know, you bring in another guy for that wing position, and then that shuffles things around on defense because, you know, small school, you know, we can't afford, you know, we don't have the numbers to have, you know, guys going just one way, so pretty much everybody goes both sides of the ball.
Entering your third year now, Paul, do you feel like you're getting kind of your culture and your mentality established?
Yeah, and that's something that we preached, you know, from day one of year one. You know, we switched the offense up a little bit from, you know, Coach Cizeretti, and we went more of a spread, kind of up-tempo game. Defensively, you know, we've tweaked a little bit, but not much has changed on that. But, yeah, you know, the kids know what to expect, and, you know, going into this season, we've got the whole offensive package in and defensive package, so, you know, it's nice.
Coach, I know you'll be taking this game by game and week by week, but three of your first four games are at home. How much of an emphasis will you put on protecting home turf?
Oh, we talk about that all the time. You know, that's our house, and, you know, we've got to take care of it, and it's nice to have those first two games at home, and, you know, especially against two opponents that we've never played before in Sullivan and Central A&M.
And, Paul, that is kind of the nice thing about having a conference where you can schedule some non-conference games is you get to see teams and styles that you're not accustomed to.
Yeah, and that's the thing with, you know, we know or have a pretty good idea what to expect with the teams in our conference going in. You know, there's a couple new guys that have taken over, but, you know, like with Sullivan and the CIC conference over there, it's kind of nice to play those crossover games with them guys and just get a different feel of, you know, what these other conferences are doing, and which, you know, a lot's the same, but there's some small things that other conferences do that we do.
Paul Watson, the head coach of Nokomis, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir, and best of luck this year.
Thank you, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. That is Paul Watson with Nokomis, and they open up at home against Sullivan Ocala Valley Co-op.
Yeah, I can't say I know too much about him either, but
Terry used to work over on Sullivan.
He did. He did. That was like his first radio job, wasn't it?
That's right. Right
out of college, yeah.
That's what I know about Sullivan, is hearing Terry's stories of Sullivan. Oh, the tales he will tell.
Yeah. Looks like they're a little bit bigger school than Nokomis. I know that much. And, yeah, my knowledge of them is just limited. So it's a non-conference game. They'll have them at home. That'll benefit them. And like I said, an emphasis will be put on protecting home field in the first three or the first four games.
No doubt about it. You're listening to WSMI Sports Saturday. As we continue our football preview show, we're going to take a break. We're back in just a moment. Welcome back to Sports Saturday, along with David Jenkins, Tim Mice here, as we continue our football preview. Hard to believe that high school football kicks off on Friday night. We'll have Carlinville hosting Hillsboro live at 7 here on FM 106, streaming online at WSMIRadio.com. And then in week two, Carlinville will be traveling to Gillespie. That's a game we're going to have on our airwaves as well. Happy to be joined on the phone right now by Miners head coach Jacob Bilbrook. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing very well, and I know this is always a very exciting time of the year, not just for fans and media who cover football, but I know head coaches and players are jacked up for Friday night.
Yeah, our kids are ready to go. I think our coaching staff is just as ready as the kids are. You know, this time of year is a pretty special time. you know, it's you have the scrimmage last night, but you know, I think kids are definitely getting ready to hit teams in other jerseys.
Yeah, you know, you don't really hit. You can have the scrimmage, but you don't necessarily hit your teammate like you plan on hitting a Vandalia Vandal on Friday night.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, when you got to always, you know, worry about injuries and things like that this time of year, and you know, you teach the form and the physicality, but you know, there's just nothing like, you know, hitting somebody else in a different color on a Friday night.
No doubt about it. So how did your scrimmage go last night? Did you like what you saw?
We did. We saw a lot of good things. Definitely, you know, some things that we still need to improve on. The good thing that I told the kids last night was, you know, we got a lot of plays in and, you know, came out healthy, you know, came out with definitely some stuff that, you know, we can see on film and try to correct because we got a big one week one in Vandalia.
And that's what makes football so special and so unique is you get 9 shots, hopefully 10 and beyond, but you know, you just get 9 games in each year. So the ability to correct the things that the mistakes, quote unquote, quickly is so important.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly right. I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, you basically get a Friday night and then you watch the film, you know, Friday night and then Saturday morning and, you know, try to share everything with the kids as much as you can on the weekend and then get them back here on Monday. And, you know, really you got 4 days to prepare, really 3 days because Thursday is usually, you know, your pregame stuff and, you know, you're not going to be putting anything new in on Thursday the night before a game. So, yeah, it's a quick turnaround and, you know, that's why you really got to take advantage of the early period here of practices. You know, and I feel like we've done a pretty good job of that this year. We have good attendance, and, you know, the kids have been working hard all summer long. And, you know, I think the attitudes are in the right place to hopefully get this thing turned around here in week two, year two for us.
Yeah. And, Coach, every week is tough in the South Central Conference, but you might have the toughest start to the schedule for any team in the league because, you know, right out of the gate you get Vandalia, Carlinville, and Pena, arguably some of the toughest teams in the league.
Yeah, you know, we know what our schedule is, and you know, the thing about the conference is, you know, you're gonna have to play everybody eventually, and you know, kind of like, you know, Coach Duff said, you know, he's starting out with Carlinville week one. You know, we get Vandalia, Carlinville, and Pena back to back to back to start off. So, you know, might as well play the best, see where your team's at, and then you know, make those adjustments, and you know, we'll see where we're at after week 9.
Well, and not only that, you've got 3 of your first 4 games are on the road, so you don't get a lot of time spent at home in the early part of the schedule this year either.
Yeah. I mean, the schedule is what it is. We, you know, the luxury about it is that, you know, last year we had, you know, 3 of the first 4 at home. So, you know, you can't really do too much about it. You know, like I said, I think the kids are, they've handled everything well so far that we've thrown at them, and you know, I'm excited to see where we're at here to start the year off with those 3 tough teams.
And Jacob, obviously, this being your second year, I would imagine you feel just a little bit more settled in what you're doing, just kind of in the day-to-day operations of the program. And you have a lot of talent coming back from last year.
Yeah, it's been definitely a smoother offseason, I feel, from my perspective. You know, and you know, it does help that we have, you know, so many kids coming back. You know, but you know, we've got talented kids too. You're right. It's just, you know, we try to really preach to the kids about how it's, you know, it's not good enough just to come back. I mean, you got to put in the work. You know, you can't just show up and say, okay, well, here we are. You know, now we're older. Now we're going to be, you know, now we're going to be conference champions. It doesn't work that way. One of our sayings this year is facta non verba, you know, actions not words, and hopefully we can prove some of that stuff with our actions on Friday nights.
That's a good one. You better get that put on a t-shirt.
I get a lot of my stuff from Virginia Tech. I'm a big Virginia Tech Hokies fan, so I think that was one of their sayings either this year or last year, but yeah, I liked it and ran with it because I think it fit our team pretty good. You know, we do have a lot of talent coming back. But you know, like I said, you can't just show up and say, well, here we are. You know, we're back. Now we're going to be good. You know, you got to put in the work. You got to put in the time. You got to get bigger, stronger, faster because, you know, the other teams in the conference, they're not going to wait around for Gillespie to do that.
And that's the thing about this conference, Coach, is it is a physical league.
Yeah. I mean, I've told anybody that'll listen to me, you know, I spent some time in the Sangamo and, with Riverton, and I know how tough the Sangamo is, and, you know, and they get a lot of praise, and rightfully so. You know, they're one of the best small school conferences, in the state, and, I think the South Central Conference is right there with them. You know, you look at the track record of the teams as far as, you know, they've gone in the playoffs the last, you know, several years. You know, you talked about our schedule. I mean, we open up with quarterfinal, semifinal. So, I mean, you know, teams are advancing. They're not just getting to the playoffs. They're actually advancing in the playoffs. So you got to be prepared each night. There's a lot of good coaches in this league. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of talent, you know, a lot of talented kids. So, you know, we just prepare and you know, hopefully we're one of the more physical teams this year too.
And that's really, as a football coach, I would think probably the biggest compliment you can get is after a team plays, you think, man, that was physical.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And, you know, we had a pretty physical scrimmage last night. I got some kids coming in this morning, you know, they're a little sore, which you know, you usually are after a football game. You know, if you're not sore, you're not hitting anybody. So, yeah, I thought that we picked up the physicality. I like where we're at, and you know, just hopefully that carries over to next Friday night.
You went 2-7 last year. As you look at kind of your expectations for this year, not necessarily in wins and losses, because everybody wants to make the playoffs. That's the ultimate goal when you start the year. But what are you going to, kind of the metrics you're going to use to define a successful season this year for the Miners?
Well, we need to, you know, I know it's cliche, but we need to get better every single week. And I think that if we actually do that, I think that a lot of things will take care of themselves. You know, our first goal is to win the first game of the season. And, I think that we do that by minimizing mistakes. You know, another year older, with a lot of these guys should, you know, we need to make sure that we're cutting down these mistakes and, you know, doing what we're capable of doing. And, you know, I think the goal for the season is, you know, even though it is the old coach's cliche, you just got to get better every single week, try to win the day, and, you know, things will take care of themselves by the time the season's over.
Jacob Bilbrook, the head coach of the Gillespie Miners, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir. We look forward to our chats throughout the season.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Jacob Bilbrook with Gillespie, and they do, David. They have a lot of really talented pieces coming back, and I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I'm terrible at predictions. Let's just get that out there right now. But I think Gillespie's a sleeper this year.
Could be. I feel like they've, you know, their record has not been indicative of how well they've played the past couple of years. They haven't had a lot of wins over the past few years, but they've been in those games. I mean, they've been a lot better than their record has shown.
And we talk about it with the South Central Conference. Man, if you're down or maybe just a little bit off your game, this conference can get real brutal real fast because Carlinville's not down.
Yeah.
Payne is not down. Greenville's not down. Vandalia is always tough. I mean, there is just week after week when you look at your schedule, like, you can't guarantee anything except a hard-nosed, tough opponent.
No, that's exactly right. And I didn't mean to focus too much on the schedule, but I imagine his team will also embrace going on the road and enjoy the role of playing spoiler should they happen to win on the road.
Well, and that's always the difference. Coaches have that tunnel vision where they just focus one week at a time, because that's their job. But
right.
Our job is to look at the schedule
right.
And look ahead and take more of a broader view. And
it
you're
is
exactly
brutal.
Right.
It's
oh
a
my
tough
goodness.
Three-game stretch.
At Vandalia, home to Carlinville, at Pena.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, good morning, good afternoon, and good night. Right there. But like he said, you gotta play all those teams anyway, and they might be better off playing them at the earliest part of the season before those teams can really get into a groove and work out all their kinks.
And you find out where you are real fast. And with high school sports, a lot of times you might think you have something figured out or think, okay, well, this team, they're going to win X number of games, but this team, boy, they're not going to win that many games. And then at the end of the year, you think, boy, that was not right. I mean, you just never know year to year what teams are going to rise up. And there's always a team in every league that overperforms. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily every year, but a lot of times there will be a team that maybe underperforms a little bit based on preseason expectations, but there's always that one team, that like Staunton last year,
mm-hmm.
who had Staunton at 4-5.
4-5.
Not a lot of people probably did. I'm sure somebody out there did. They're saying, I had them at 4-5. Well, good for you. You know, that's fabulous. But there's always going to be a situation where a team surprises people, and Gillespie has a real chance to be that team this year.
No, they absolutely could get off to a good start, play well, protect football, don't make mistakes. I mean, that's going to be what it comes down to. Don't, you know, those games you can't afford to lose, don't make mistakes.
No matter if you're the Carlinville of the league or Gillespie who's looking to make a resurgence, it comes down to the same thing.
Yeah.
If you make mistakes in a game, you are going to lose.
Right.
And that's what has separated Carlinville from a lot of teams in the league over the years is they do not beat themselves.
Right.
They play smart, fundamental, sound football. And when you do that consistently, you're going to have consistent success.
No, that's exactly right. I don't have much more to
say. Turnovers are no good.
No, turnovers are not good. Protect the foot. You'd be surprised how much improvement or how much your team can improve just by not turning the ball over.
And obviously, it sounds so simple. It's not simple.
It's easier said than done.
It's so much, yeah, very much easier said than done. But if you can take care, if Gillespie can take care of the football this year, at the end of the year, mm-hmm. they're going to be just fine.
Yeah, it's easy for me to say, hey, you know, don't fumble the ball when you got a 250-pound kid,
yeah.
you know, punching the ball out while you're on the football field.
It's like when you're playing baseball. Just hit it.
Just hit it. It's not that hard.
Just hit it. Looks real easy here. Just hit it.
Yeah. Just hit it. Just tackle that guy. He's only 260 pounds.
No big deal.
Yeah, who cares?
Hey, we'll have Cardinal baseball, speaking of hitting the baseball, 5:20 with the pregame tonight, AM 1540 and FM 106.9 as the Cardinals continue their series with the Milwaukee Brewers. We're going to take a break. We're back with our football preview on Sports Saturday following these messages. Back on WSMI Sports Saturday, along with David Jenkins, Tim Mize here with you on FM 106 as we've been rolling through our football preview show. Hopefully, we'll be able to catch up with Brian Borkowski of South Mac and Patrick Bowman of North Mac, and we'll see if we can get a hold of Todd Hutchinson at Greenville as well. But, David, as we look at South Mac, obviously last year, their first year of existence with the Bunker Hill Mount Olive Co-op.
Worked out pretty well.
It did. They're playing Vandalia the first week.
They are. Missouri?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Vandalia, Missouri.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right. Vandalia's playing.
Yeah, Vandalia's got two games scheduled.
Yeah, they're playing
squad.
Gillespie.
They got
yeah.
a split squad.
Didn't know their numbers were that good.
No, but they are going to Vandalia, Missouri to start their season. And
it's a Friday night game, too, so that's interesting. I heard about that. I was like, okay, they're playing on Saturday, right? No. So how far a drive is it, I wonder?
I'll have to put it in Google Maps and see.
Yeah. Good luck to them. They are losing a lot from last year's squad, it sounds like, just going looking on paper. But the first, as we said, the first year of the co-op worked out extremely well. The Chargers, they finished 6-3 or 5-4 at the end of the regular season. Good enough to make the playoffs from the Prairie State because they had a loaded schedule. And they went up to Downs Tri-Valley and lost, I think it was Downs Tri-Valley, lost in the first round there.
And I know there was great enthusiasm from both the Mount Olive and the Bunker Hill fan bases, and it's always a bit different when you get involved in a co-op situation like that. You never know exactly how it's going to work out, but it always helps to have success early, and that is certainly what South Mac had last year. Now, a lot of their success last year, obviously good offensive line play, and then the great Johnny Dara. Mm-hmm. Johnny's gone, so they are going to have to replace a whole lot of production, and it's probably going to be a situation, David, where you're not going to be able to have just one guy
yeah.
fill that gap. It's going to take a host.
Well, it'll depend on how good the line is, because a great offensive line can take a mediocre running back and turn him into a good or a great running back. I mean, they lost a great one in Johnny Dara, but if their offensive line is strong, then they could have somebody else at running back who come in and perform very well.
That's exactly right. So South Mac will start with two non-conference games, Vandalia, Missouri. Then they'll stay in the state the rest of the season. They'll play Sangamon Valley week two. That's back-to-back road games to start the year.
They don't play a home game until week four.
How about that? Three road games to start with Pawnee on the road to start conference play in the third week of the year. And, of course, it's a four home game schedule for South Mac. So it'll be two at Mount Olive and two at Bunker Hill. That's how they will split that up this year for the South Mac Chargers, just in their second year of existence. And clearly, Mount Olive, of the two programs, well, I'm from Bunker Hill, so I can say this with all due respect, but Bunker Hill's football history is not good. Nalu's football history is fantastic.
Yes. Especially in recent years, it's been a lot better than, one has been a lot better than the other. But like I said, it worked out really well for him last year. It was great to have enthusiasm from both communities, and both were able to see a playoff appearance.
That's exactly right. So hopefully South Mac will continue to have success this year in their second year of existence. And good timing, Brian Borkowski, the head coach of the South Mac Chargers, joining us on Sports Saturday. Good morning, Coach.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good to be back with you again.
Great to have you on the phone with us here. And I would imagine, Coach, that the second year just kind of feels a little bit more settled with the program than the first year did.
Oh, absolutely. We didn't have to do as much to kind of get things rolling. We had some systems in place, which, you know, going into year two is kind of nice, especially when dealing with the loss of 14 seniors. It's kind of hard to replace. You know, we have to replace Johnny Dara, who was our conference offensive most valuable player, but we feel pretty comfortable that we've got a good group of young people coming up to fill those spots.
Well, Brian, David and I were just talking that you lose the great Johnny Dara, and it's most likely going to take multiple players to fill that void.
That is true. You know, anytime you have a player of that caliber on both sides of the ball and who can contribute on special teams as a return guy, it's difficult to fill, but as I mentioned, we feel really comfortable with some of the kids we have coming up. We have kind of a trio in the backfield, but Evan Morris, who's only going to be a sophomore for us this year, showed flashes of greatness last year at both the linebacker and the tailback position. So we feel pretty comfortable that although he's young, he's going to be able to step in and fill that role that Johnny left behind. We also have Garrett Dickerson, who is a Mount Olive sophomore, who could also, he's also playing linebacker for us, and he and Evan will share carries in the backfield. And we have a promising freshman, Ty Zimmer, who was a state qualifier track kid in the eighth grade, who's also going to probably see some varsity time at the tailback spot. So, yeah, it's difficult to replace a guy like Johnny, but I feel, you know, really comfortable that we have some people, young people in place that will, you know, take that role on and roll with it.
I know Ty Zimmer is a Bunker Hill kid because he doesn't live that far from my parents, but what is the split, I guess, of Mount Olive kids and Bunker Hill kids?
I'd say we have probably 8 Mount Olive kids, and the rest are made up of Bunker Hill. We've got about 25 in the program right now. Again, last year we were a little bit more, but we had an unusually large senior class, which kind of accounted for those skewed numbers. We'd like to probably get up to into the 30s, and that's been part of the challenge is, being a Bunker Hill teacher, I can kind of walk the halls at Bunker Hill and recruit kids and talk to them and try to get them interested in football and the off-season weight program. And we have not had a coach in the Mount Olive building, but we do this year. We brought Nick Simmons on board, who's a Mount Olive staff member. He was recent hire there. So I'm really hoping that having somebody in the building, you know, talking football with the kids, getting them excited about it will drive those numbers.
And Mount Olive, it's a great football community. It really is.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you just walk down the hallway to their gymnasium and look up at the wall, you can see, you know, going back decades, playoff pictures of great teams in the past. And so I know that the community's passionate about football. I know that there's a lot of history there, which is always a good thing. And so I think it's just kind of rekindling these young kids to, you know, the glory days of Mount Olive and kind of trying to resurrect that that will make the difference.
As you look at the team this year, obviously playoffs the first year, when you go into a co-op situation and have success early, boy, that is such a benefit moving forward. But what do you anticipate in terms of defining success this year for the South Mac Chargers?
Well, again, in year two, you know, you don't want to take any steps back. We also do have to be aware that, you know, we're a heavily laden sophomore and junior team. So we're very young, especially at the key positions. But that being said, those younger kids are really stepping up and playing, at least in practice, a lot older than their grade level would indicate. So for us, we're anticipating hopefully trying to either equal or outdo last year. We don't think that 5-4, even with a young team, is off the table. Obviously, we don't know if that would be good enough to get us into the playoffs, but that's our objective from day one, is to make a return to the playoffs in year two and post a winning record, if not slightly better than what we did last year.
You mentioned, I think, 25 kids on the squad. So do you approach practice in terms of the physicality any different to make sure that all those kids are ready to go on game day?
Yeah, we've done some things, you know, with that many kids, and we still have some kids that got to camp late, so they're still in the helmet and shoulder pad only stage, so they obviously can't make full contact. So we've had to adjust our practice plans a little bit, and we try to really do a lot of good on good, which means we'll do a lot of half-line stuff so that we have upper-grade-level kids participating against upper-grade-level kids just to try to, you know, get the best matchups that we can and make it more game realistic, and that way we can bring the younger kids along a little bit more slowly. As far as, you know, probably, you know, saving people, things like that, maybe not trying to risk injury, that's always something you're aware of, but, you know, at least my philosophy, you have to tackle, you have to block at full speed. There's certain things that you just can't replicate without doing it live. So we really monitor those live situations and control those environments to try to make it as safe as possible for the kids. But at the end of the day, we're just like every other program that, you know, you need to get your hitting drills in, you need to get your blocking drills in. You've got to be physical because it's a physical sport.
Talking with Brian Borkowski, the head coach of the South Mac Chargers, where the heck is Vandalia, Missouri?
Vandalia, Missouri is about 2.5 hours into the state of Missouri.
Ooh.
And because of a scheduling snafu, we kind of had to make a decision late in the spring, early summer about picking up a game one. And so we literally called, wrote, emailed everybody within like a 2-hour radius and couldn't find a game one anywhere. Everybody had pretty firm commitments. So Vandalia, Missouri had somebody drop out, and they were looking for a game. And, you know, 2.5 hours is not an ideal bus trip by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, at least we have a game one. It's against an opponent that we don't know a whole lot about. We were able to kind of break down scout film. But, you know, historically, I'm not sure what kind of a program they have. But I think that we match up very well against them, and we're looking for success going into game one.
What do you know about them, by chance?
Well, I know that they are kind of they're kind of a mirror image of our program. They made the playoffs last year. They were a first round. They got knocked out in the first round, very similar to what we did. They graduated, I think it was 12 seniors, so they lost a lot of, you know, varsity experience as well. They are pretty much a run first, sort of a team. They like to come out and double tight. They do some different things. And so we have to be aggressive. We have to stop the run. Obviously, that's one of the cardinal rules of defensive football. But especially in this game, where a lot of teams are now starting to spread out and do some different things, they're kind of an old-school throwback as far as the double wing, real heavy kind of look, and they just try to play power football most of the time. So, you know, we feel like we got a scheme in place, and we've got the kids where they need to be, and we're looking forward to taking them on next Friday.
You'll get that team bonding early.
Yeah. We, you know, last year I know a lot was made out of, you know, how did the kids come together, and I would like to, you know, tell you that it was some genius move on my part to sell a book about how to, you know, do that and make a lot of money. But it was really the kids. They got together. They bonded very well with really nothing to do on any of the coaching staff's part. And it's the same way this year. The kids were excited to get back and see the kids from Mount Olive. Mount Olive kids were excited to see the Bunker Hill kids. And so we bonded pretty well in practice. We've got great senior leadership, some great captains who are leading the young guys, especially because we have so many incoming freshmen. But it has been bonding, and, you know, driving 2.5 hours on a bus, I guess, will be even closer.
That'll do it.
Yeah, but we're looking forward to it. I'm very happy with where we're at right now and looking forward to the season.
That's about a longer bus ride than you have for your playoff game last year, isn't it?
Yeah. When we went to Downs last year, it was probably around the same distance. So, you know, if we do make the playoffs, I guess we have bus riding, you know, experience we can tap into from this game one. But yeah, it doesn't get any better. We go to Sangamon Valley next, and that's a trip in and of itself. And then finally we start getting into some conference play where we have closer games.
Is it weird not playing a home game until week four?
Very strange, absolutely. You know, we're going to be road warriors. We kind of resigned ourselves to that, and, you know, it's just a matter of going wherever we need to go. And the football field's the same dimensions, and the rules are the same. So when we get there, nothing really is different than playing at home, except we may have fewer fans. So, you know, our kids are excited about the competition, playing schools that we haven't seen before. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the nice part about having a non-conference schedule is you get to do some new and different things and see some different teams that you may not normally get to see.
As you look at the Prairie State Conference preseason, kind of what do you anticipate? How do you see it shaking out?
I think you always have to go into it, you know, looking at Marquette as being a viable contender for the conference championship. East Dalton Wood River perennially has a pretty good team. You know, I'm good friends with Coach Heron. We actually coached on a Jerseyville staff together a number of years back, and I know how hard he works and what he puts into his program. And it's no surprise to anybody that knows him that he's been able to take that program and run with it. So they're always in contention. Nokomis played us tough last year, and I'm not sure what their numbers are or what their situation is, but you certainly can't ever overlook them. And South Fork also played us incredibly tough last year. So I would say those are the teams that, you know, you're worried about everybody in the conference. You can't overlook anybody, but those are the teams that, that really kind of catch our attention as far as if we want to make a run at a conference title, those are the four that we feel that we definitely have to beat in order to get there. And last year, we put ourselves in a pretty good position. It came down to week eight. We were playing Marquette at home. They got the better of us in a big way. But up until week eight, we were vying for a conference title. And that's always kind of been our goal, is put ourselves in a position at the end of the year to try to win a conference title and make the playoffs. And that's our focus again this year.
Brian, you mentioned a few moments ago about last year, how the kids really allowed the team and the program to come together. And that is always a consistent trait of any winning program, is obviously the coach has got to do their job. But when the players buy in and then the players start to take ownership of the team itself, boy, then you really have something special.
Yeah, and it's neat, too. I mean, when you see the kids come together for the first time, you know, we did some summer practices, some 7-on-7 things like that. But when they get together for the first time after being, you know, off for the winter and you know, battling each other in baseball and basketball and other things like that, it's really neat because it's just like they fall back into the routine. Mount Olive kids kind of joke around with the Bunker Hill kids, and there's no factions, there's no group that kind of stands off by itself and another group that stands off by itself. It really is a team in every sense of the word, and I'm very, very proud of the kids for, number one, starting all that last year and then continuing it again this year.
Brian Borkowski, the head coach of the South Mac Chargers, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning. And, hey, enjoy that bus ride to Vandalia, Missouri.
Hey, at least we have air conditioning, so it's not all bad.
Well, there you go.
Thank you. I will, and we'll look forward to talking again maybe next week.
All right, sounds good, Coach. Thank you so much. Yeah, we look forward to talking to Coach Borkowski throughout the year here in year two of the South Mac Chargers. And, of course, you know, when you think of South Mac, you can't help but think of North Mac. And different scenario just from the standpoint Mount Olive and Bunker Hill weren't bitter rivals for, you know, since the beginning of time, like Vernon and Gerard were. But it's similar in the standpoint that they both had success in that first season. And the success early when you are in a new situation like a co-op is, it is so critical to make sure that that enthusiasm is there early. If South Mac would have gone out last year and struggled and, you know, kind of just been all over the place, boy, then you get people questioning, was this a good idea? Is this going to work? Well, the exact opposite happened. They surprised everybody and made the playoffs.
No, that's exactly right. Like you said, you got to keep the enthusiasm there. It could be the first year sometimes, more times than not, is, you know, kind of deceiving. And when you have the success, because then you're followed with a couple of years of down football. That's not saying that's going to happen to South Mac by any stretch of the imagination. But you just got to stay positive and keep that enthusiasm going as you are still building your program from scratch. I mean, this program didn't exist 2 years ago. So you got to keep moving forward, even though the wins and losses may not always be there. You got to still keep building your program.
No doubt about it. And North Mac has been on that steady build. They had a bit of a rough patch last year after two dominating seasons under head coach Shane Owsley. Now North Mac looking at their third head coach in the last 3 years, Dan Carlson out after 1 year. And for North Mac, man, that Sangamon Conference, it's so tough. Mm-hmm. Every single game is just a brutal undertaking. You think about last year, who would have thought, we were talking about, you know, a team always surprises you earlier in the program. Pleasant Plains would fit that mold last year. Nobody had Pleasant Plains playing for the state title this time last year. But that's exactly where they wound up.
Right. Right, and I think the Sangamo kind of flips their schedule, because I believe North Mac ended the season with Moreau Forsyth last year. Now they are beginning.
Probably the year before, but
yeah, they're beginning the season this year with them, and they were a game away from the playoffs last year, so they were right on the cusp. So that's another thing where, will the players come out and the coaching staff that's returning, will they come out and, you know, be that much more hungry, knowing that they were that close to the postseason? Or are they going to be disparaged? You know, that's going to be the job of Pat Bowman, to keep them upbeat and keep them fighting for that hunger and get over the hump and make the playoffs this year.
Oh, they'll be rip-roaring and ready to go. It'll just be a matter of, in this league especially, you got to have the firepower.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it should, with Marrero Forsythe and Williamsville and Auburn, you know what Plains did last year. New Berlin is always very solid. And, you know, you can never forget about Athens, who is, to me, Athens is kind of always the forgotten team in that league.
Because it's a small school.
That's exactly right. They always go 1A, but it seems like every year you get to week 7 or 8, and Athens is just, it's just right there. They're always, right. My goodness, they're a tough team.
They really are, and they kind of had, you know, we mentioned how Carlinville had their struggles with getting out of the second round. I believe Athens had their struggles of getting out of one round of the playoffs, and it was broken within the past couple of years where they've got over that hump. And, yeah, they kind of are the forgotten bird there in the Sangamo Conference because everyone talks about Williamsville, Marrero Forsythe, and Auburn, and Athens every year, you know, late in the season, is tied atop of the conference for the best record.
The South Central and the Sangamo have really developed, for both being closed conferences, so they have a rivalry because they've met in the playoffs a number of teams over the course of several years. And when you have a closed conference and yet you still manage to wind up having a rivalry mm-hmm. with another conference, that speaks to the talent and the depth of both leagues. But I think for a number of years, the Sangamo Conference was having more playoff success than the South Central Conference was. Now, the South Central has flipped that the last few years with obviously the success of Carlinville. Staunton made that run to the state title game several years back. But I think that is kind of what has elevated the Sangamo over, say, the last 6, 7, 8 years is that playoff success that they've had. Williamsville has played for the state title a number of times. Auburn got there a few years ago. Marrero Forsythe, that was the big addition. That's what really, I think.
It closed the conference.
It closed the conference, and it really took it to another level because Marrero Forsythe has been a state power for a number of years. Mm-hmm. So when they came into the league, my goodness, it just took it up a whole different level than what it even had been at before. But you won't find a better top of a league than that with Marrero Forsythe and Williamsville. You talk about 1-2 year after year. That's as tough as you're going to find.
Yeah, and Williamsville kind of got tasked with the short end of the stick going in the northern part of the 3A bracket last year, something they were unfamiliar with, usually being pitted in the south portion of the bracket. So you had to play a bunch of schools you've never played before. And we'll see where it lies this year.
Happy to be joined on the phone by North MAC head coach Patrick Bowman. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Well, your first year on the job, just your early assessment of the Panther program.
Well, right now, the kids have been doing everything I've been asking them to do. They're working hard, and they're ready to get the season rolling.
And you get it rolling with a doozy at Marrero Forsythe. Hello.
Yes, we do. So what a way to start in this conference. It's week in, week out. You've got a big opponent, and obviously, yes, they're one of the big ones.
And we were just talking about that, David and I, about the depth of this league. There's no such thing as a gimme in the Sangamo Conference. So as you go through your summer work and your preseason camps, I would imagine that that's the focus. You got to be ready to go each and every week, but right out of the gate.
You bet. Every week's a huge challenge in this conference. Right now in the state, when you look at all the teams in a conference, this conference is going to be up there at the top. So, like you said, you got to get them ready to be. It's a long season when you get 9 straight games of a battle on the field, and like you said, there's no gimmies.
Patrick, you're the third coach that North MAC has had in the last 3 years. So, just from the kids' perspective, how tough is that? Different voices, different systems.
Kids are pretty tough. That was the first thing I did. The first meeting I had, I said a big thank you to the seniors that were there. We've got 11 seniors this year. It would have been very easy for them to say, you know what, this is the third guy in 3 years, I'm not coming back. They stepped up, they came back, and they've been awesome. So I couldn't ask for a better group, and those 11 have been awesome leaders so far.
And any team has to have that senior leadership. It's so critical.
You bet.
What will your, I guess, the system that you're going to put in place, is it going to be similar to what they've seen in the past? Will it be completely different? What will it look like?
Hopefully we figure out that by next Friday.
What do your numbers look like, Patrick?
Right now we're a little bit over 50, freshman through senior. So not too bad. I think a lot of schools in the area are struggling with numbers. I think that's everywhere. So hopefully this is the start, and they just keep growing from here.
So as you look at kind of the season as a whole. Obviously, we know what they did the 2 years under Shane Owsley. Last year, 4-5, but they went through a lot of different things last year in the program, injuries and whatnot. And at the end of the day, they missed the playoffs by one game. So I would imagine that playoffs very much on North Mac's mind.
Oh, big time, yep. And that's one of the things last spring when I was hired, I asked the kids, I always say, hey, what are your goals for the season? What are your individual goals? It was pretty much unanimous. Hey, let's get back to the playoffs. Let's get 5 wins and see what we can do. So obviously that is a goal of a lot of teams, and that definitely is here at North Mac too.
Who are going to be some of the kids that you're going to rely on this year to get it done for you?
Like I said earlier, we've got 11 awesome seniors and a handful of those are linemen. We've got some Worth twins that are linemen. We've got a Garrett Ferguson that's a lineman. The Malink kid has been the quarterback in the past. He's back. We've got a couple other linemen. One new guy, Hayden Branson, a big kid that came back last year, has been injured a little bit. We've got Garrett Smith is in the backfield again. He played a little bit last year as well. And Anthony Brock Miller, Justin Miller, those are a couple new guys that are back on the field again here at North Mac. We got Jay McCready, who's returning there on the defense. And another player that didn't play last year, Sam Mount, that'll be back. So a lot of familiar names and also a few new ones you might hear about.
Yeah, absolutely. And the good place to start for any football team, you want to build from the inside out. So if your line play is strong, that usually bodes well for everything else falling in line.
Yes, it is. It all starts up front, and that's what I keep telling. And I tell all the backs that get their names in the paper, make sure you're thanking the guys that are doing the work for you up front. So
that's exactly
it's definitely
right.
Important.
Coach, the Sangamon Conference has explosive offenses. I mean, you think of Monroe Forsyth, you think of Williamsville, you think of Auburn, spreading you out multiple weapons at all times that can hurt you. So from a defensive perspective, how challenging is it to stop those spread-style offenses?
It is definitely a challenge. And like you said, it's every week. So do you ever get used to it? No, because there's so many weapons that each team has. It is a challenge, and hopefully your guys are coached up well enough to know their responsibility and do the best you can.
Having fun in your first year?
Oh, yeah. It's awesome to be back on the football field, I can tell you that.
Yeah, absolutely. You've been around it your whole life, and I guess, you know, there's been a lot of changes in the game of football over the last several years, a lot of drastic changes. But at the end of the day, it still is kind of the same thing where you got a group of young men, a big group of young men coming together with one common goal.
You bet. And that's one of the things we're talking about this year is working together as good teammates, working hard. The goal is obviously to win as many football games as you can, but like you said, there's a lot of other stuff that go along with football. And in the end, a lot of things have changed, but it still comes down to blocking and tackling as well.
It really does. And, you know, everybody gets caught up in rushing yards, passing yards, but if you ain't blocking and you ain't tackling, it's going to be a long night.
Yes, it is. You're exactly right.
Patrick Bowman, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, and best of luck this year.
Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
All right. Patrick Bowman with North Mac, and right into it he goes, David, at Monroe Forsyth.
Yeah, that's a heck of a test. And you'll find out where your team is at the start of the season, perhaps.
You get a real good read on yourself real early. And every time I think of Monroe Forsyth, they've got a turf field over there. So much money over in that area and so much money pumped into that program with all the success they've had. But I remember, gosh, I don't even remember how many years ago it's been now, but Carlinville went over there for a playoff game. And it was sloppy. Kentucky Derby in the mud. Slop. And they had, it just, this image has always stuck with me. They had straw bales strewn out across the sideline to try to soak up some of that moisture, and the field was just a mess by the end of the night. But now, an artificial field over there, and it's quite nice.
And it's a heck of an atmosphere. So for those who have not played at the varsity level before and are going to get significant playing time, I mean, they're going to be thrown right into an atmosphere there.
Every week ain't like that.
No. Not at all.
No, it's a special place there at Monroe Forsyth. And, of course, they were in the state championship game a year ago. And that
what is a surprise.
What a surprise, yeah. Certainly not uncharted territory for the Monroe Forsyth Trojans to be playing in the last week up on Thanksgiving weekend in either, well, now either Memorial Stadium or Husky Stadium up in DeKalb. Let's see. It'll be at
it's Memorial this year.
Memorial this year, yeah.
And it's not the last Friday in September.
September?
November.
It's not?
Because there's five.
Oh, there's an extra.
Oh, boy. Yeah, because there's an extra Friday in August this year. There's an extra Friday in November as well. So, it seems like the season's going to be earlier this year, even though I don't think it technically is.
Right, but it really does feel like we're getting an earlier start because, we're going to have two games under our belts by the time the calendar flips over to September. So we're looking very much forward to it. Obviously, here at WSMI, we're always happy when the high school sports season gets back into full swing. Obviously, golf has been going for a while now. Volleyball gets into action coming up on Monday. That big Roxana tournament will begin on Monday. We'll have more about that on Spotlight on Sports Monday morning at 7:30 on FM 106. But it's a great time of the year when the high school sports gets back into full swing.
No, it absolutely is. I know a lot of kids are, like we've said many times during this program, they're itching to hit somebody else other than the friends and teammates, and they're ready for Friday to get here.
That's right. So we want to thank all of our coaches who joined us this morning on Sports Saturday. Of course, the big news, I guess, story next week will be we'll all have our eyes on Litchfield and see what decision they come to Monday. When we had Tom Priddle on earlier in the program, obviously, he said what you expect him to say, that nothing official yet, which nothing is official yet. It's just speculation and hearsay at this point, although a lot of people kind of leaning towards one way. But it was good to hear Tom say that they do have more kids in the program now than they did just a few days ago.
Yeah, 24. That's way up from where they were, right?
24 is workable, David, because you heard Brian Borkowski say they got 25.
Yeah. Yeah, it's doable. I think Nokomis for a couple of years played with 25 as well. So, 24 is not ideal, but it's a workable number.
And we heard several coaches that we talked to this morning talk about their numbers being lower than they have been in the past. So this isn't, while Litchfield may be an extreme case for this year, they're certainly not the only case. We're seeing several programs, and it's a small school problem. As you know, enrollments for the schools go down. It only stands to reason that then the number of kids on the football team is going to go down as well. But this is a situation that is across the board, across the area, where the numbers were what they were a few years ago. And quite honestly, I don't know that the numbers are ever going to drastically go up like we saw 10 years ago. And we don't need to get into the reasons why. Everybody knows the reasons why that is. But it's just it's a new reality, and you just have to be able to adapt and adjust. And we heard Brian Borkowski with South Mac talking about how they alter their practice based on the lower numbers. There's a way to get it done. You just have to be willing to adjust maybe your thinking opposed to what it used to be.
No, that's exactly right. So we'll see how the season goes.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun year, and we'll have Carlinville Hillsboro week one live at 7 on FM 106. David, of course, will have the great pregame show again at 6:30 this year. All the high school action on WSMI FM 106, streaming online at WSMIRadio.com. But Carlinville, obviously, state runner-up 2 years ago, lost that heartbreaker to Pleasant Plains in the quarterfinals in overtime last year. They got Jared Easterday back. They got Kyle Dixon back. You heard Chad say 3.5 linemen are returning. Carlinville, to me, is primed for yet another big, big season and deep playoff run. You never know how things will shake out, obviously, but I expect Carlinville, at the end of the day, to have a banner year.
Yeah, it seems like we usually have some surprises in the South Central Conference. I mean, you have the teams that are usually there at the top, but it sure seems like the past few years, teams that we didn't think would be in postseason contention are in postseason contention.
And that's what makes what Carlinville has done, though, so impressive, because every year they're expected to be great. And every year they really deliver on those expectations. Only 1 year since 2000 have they missed the playoffs. Think about that for a second. Okay. Every year since the turn of the century, Carlinville has been in the playoffs all but one season. It's remarkable.
They're getting into Auburn territory with their consistency, because Auburn has been to the playoffs for, it's over 20 years now. It's might be approaching 30. I don't know.
I think basically every year Dave Bates has been the head coach.
Yeah.
They've been in the playoffs, and Chad has never missed the playoffs since he got the head job at Carlinville. And he's always talked about, he's just kind of the steward of the program. You know, he didn't create the Carlinville tradition. It's just his responsibility now to carry it on, and my goodness, has he carried it on. They haven't had more than two losses in a regular year since 2011, and they have had a dominating run through the South Central Conference the last number of years here, and they've become such a fun team to watch because they've implemented that spread offense, and Jared Easterday has had a phenomenal career as the Carlinville quarterback. If you remember, he got some playing time as a freshman when Adam Walton got hurt late in that campaign. Then obviously Walton came back and led him to the state championship game along with Jacob Dixon 2 years ago. But Chad talked about they don't shy away from the expectation or the pressure. They put it right on their kids, not the start of preseason work, in the weight room in January. They kind of get them mentally prepared, and that has, in my opinion, what has really started to separate Carlinville from the rest is the mental capacity at which they operate. They know that everybody is circling them on their schedule. They get everybody's best shot, and week in, week out, they are prepared for it. They don't beat themselves, David.
Right.
They just don't. If you're going to hang an L on Carlinville, it's going to be because you went out and you took it from them. It's not going to be because they gave it to you.
No, that's exactly right. It's one thing to have the expectations. It's another thing to deliver on them.
So. And they consistently do.
They do.
They do. So it's going to be a heck of a year across the area for high school football. We look forward to it as always. Of course, we'll have games every Friday night. We'll talk to our area coaches each and every Saturday morning here on Sports Saturday, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. And David, while we have a few minutes left in the program here, let's hit on the Cardinals real fast. They will play the Brewers tonight in Game 2 of the three-game weekend set, 5:20 this evening, WSMI AM 1540 and FM 106.9. And for the people who tried to make you believe, you know, the manager and the hitting coach, they don't really do that much.
Yeah.
The players just got to go out and play better. Well,
boy,
it turns out that the manager and the hitting coach matter quite much.
They sure have been different since they let those positions change those positions.
Weird, isn't it?
It is.
It's like, yeah, the players are playing better. That's a fact. But the reason that the players are playing better, one, professional athletes, when a talented team gets a coach fired, they usually respond.
Mm-hmm.
But just the vibe around the team from all the people who see it on a daily basis and are around it, it's just different. Mike Schilt seems to have empowered the players, and I heard them say the other day he has what he calls ball talk.
Ball talk, yeah.
Talk about it. I love this.
It's you. I believe he gets a different group of players together.
Small group
before each game, and just talks about the game, maybe strategies, maybe what they can do better, what they expect out of them that day during that game. And yeah, it's not the same group of guys every day, which it seems like that may have been the case if they had this at all under the previous regime.
Yeah.
But yes, it's a different group of guys each day, just talking baseball,
talking shop.
And last night might have been, it's my opinion, but it might have been the most important win of the season to this point.
I'm not going to disagree with you because a lot of times we talk about streaks follow streaks.
Yeah.
And when you win 8 in a row, playing as good as you played, you lose a tough ball game the night before, to bounce back, get a win against the team you're chasing mm-hmm. for the wild card, no less. A huge win.
Huge win. And they'll try to capitalize on it tonight. And what you've mentioned off the air before, you might have mentioned it last week during the sports show, just winning the series. I mean, because you didn't hear about it much previously, and now they're just trying to win series, which is a La Russa thing.
That was a staple under La Russa. Win the series. When you play 162,
mm-hmm.
if you win 2 out of 3 consistently, guess what?
You're probably going to make playoffs.
You're going to be playing in October.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoyed the program today. We want to thank all of our area coaches who joined us here in our football preview show. It all gets kicked off Friday night. We'll have Carlinville hosting Hillsboro live at 7 o'clock on FM 106. The pregame show with David Jenkins comes your way at 6:30 Friday night here on your 50,000-watt voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. Have a great weekend, everybody.